Hi guys, welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America. My name is Ozzy. Today I have the pleasure of talking about a very amazing project Experience Silicon Valley. And to discuss this project with me is Mr. Ernest Onuri. Welcome.
Thank you, Ozzy.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name is Ernest. I teach in the Department of Computer Science at Babcock University, which is a privately owned institution of higher learning in Nigeria. It's actually owned by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I've been teaching there for about 6 years now. Mm-hmm. So that's just a little of who I am.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. So I recently heard about the Experience Silicon Valley project. And I also heard that it's like your brainchild. So can you tell me what this project is?
Okay. The program Experience Silicon Valley is one that I designed to give exposure to students of computer science in my department, in my school.
Okay.
And that's because when you look around you, it's obvious that not much is happening around us here in Nigeria as compared to what obtains in advanced societies like the United States. And so the thoughts came to me and I felt it was going to do a great world of good if students at this end are able to get that sort of exposure to working environments, to interacting with experts that work in such global environments, such environments that have global reach, like the Googles and the Facebooks of this world.
What year is this into the project and how has the response been so far?
This is the second year running. We started last year, should have started a year before. We experienced a major setback. That was in 2016.
Okay.
But that didn't stop us. I made it a point of duty to ensure that it worked because it was unprecedented at the time. Nothing of such scale had been done. So when it failed, it was as though all those who felt it was impossible were gloating and thinking that, well, I mean, they told you, they told me it wasn't this. But then, so there was something in me that was convinced about the workability of the project. And so last year, we successfully made the trip.
Okay.
And coming home and with all the testimonies that the students who participated came back with,
mm-hmm.
I became even more convinced that it was something that should stay. And so a few weeks back, we staged a repeat and it was even bigger and grander than what we experienced last year. And so I am even the more convinced that it has come to stay.
So what is the participation like? I mean, I know you've been running this for 2 years. How many students were you able to bring to Silicon Valley from Babcock University, Nigeria?
Last year, we had 13.
Okay.
The year before, when the project failed, we had over 25.
Okay.
So you can imagine that there was this apathy from within, having heard that an initial attempt had failed badly.
Mm-hmm.
People just wanted to observe and see whether or not this had come to stay. Yeah. And so last year we had 13. This year we had 20.
Okay.
And that's because we got cut down by visa application process. But when you compare 13 and then 20,
mm-hmm.
That's an improvement. And I can speak on evidence of what is before me now, that I estimate that not less than 30
mm-hmm.
would very likely make a trip next year, because a number of these students who are currently in school have been contacting me, indicating interest. So
okay.
We'll see how it goes. It's still a learning curve, it's still early, but I believe that it has indeed come to stay.
Okay, so I know that this trip, bringing students from Nigeria to America to observe Silicon Valley, especially computer science students, you know, I know it can be expensive because of the exchange rate. Presently, who sponsors the program?
At the moment, sponsorship is squarely on the parents of the students.
Okay.
We're only hoping. I've done some reaching out to some of the big tech players in Silicon Valley to see if we can gain some sort of sponsorship to subsidize costs, and by so doing, we can get some people who are interested to actually subscribe. At the moment, it's only those who are able to afford it that get on board. Yeah, so I would like to get to that point where it's not just about those who can afford it, but those who actually have a vision and see beyond, you know, just going to California, going to the United States. You know, we have some really, really smart kids who
cannot afford
would
it.
Really, yes, but they can't afford it. I'm hoping that my reaching out to some of these big players will yield some fruit so that such students will be able to attend.
Yeah, reaching out to these tech companies definitely, you know, is a way that they, the tech companies, can give back, you know, by sponsoring the students. But what do you think the tech companies have to gain apart from giving back to the community? Like, what else do you think that they will stand to gain by sponsoring such projects?
Yeah, you know, when you get these students across to see these companies and see how they work, interact with their experts, and bearing in mind, too, that these are also students in training in IT. Mm-hmm. These students, some of them have what it takes to work for these big guys.
Okay.
And so it's in some way, these big companies are opening themselves up for easier access. Mm-hmm. Or, okay, easier access by these students to see where they can fit in. You know, I give you an example. One of the very, very smart students I traveled with this past few weeks, mm-hmm. one of those, you know, you meet smart students and you know you've met one. And this guy falls into that category. Mm-hmm. He told me, Mr. Ernest, I thought I had everything all figured out up till now. But and seeing what I've seen, I'm definitely coming back here to work here.
Awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, so when you have these tech companies, you know, giving back by way of sponsoring some of these students to come see, it's also a way of opening themselves up to the talent that these students possess,
right,
which in turn can lead to the advancement of these companies. So I believe strongly that at the end of the day, it's going to be a mutually beneficial arrangement if they key into what we're doing.
That's awesome. It seems like this trip is greatly motivating your students to aim higher, you know, and even plan to work in Silicon Valley. So what tech companies were you guys able to visit this year at Silicon Valley?
It was a mix anyway of companies and institutions. So some of the companies, we were at Google, we were at Facebook, Apple, Adobe, Target, DocuSign,
okay.
Amazon.
Wow.
Yeah, we were at Facebook and then we were at NASA. That's an institution. Then we were at...
Did you visit Stanford?
We were at Stanford University where we had some guy who's into quantum physics, okay. You know. Very, very good time with us, trying to relate all that with computing and, you know, quantum computing and all. It was quite some really interesting episode we had with him. We were also at Draper University, mm-hmm. and 42.
Okay.
That was quite a place because that's an institution that runs a model that is definitely going to produce some talents. And I am very, very convinced that in the shortest possible future, that we will begin to hear more about them. We got to hear about them for the first time. And it was amazing how they could be doing the kind of stuff they are doing and nobody really knew about them. Yeah, 42 is a school that was founded by some French billionaire.
Okay.
It started out in Paris, in France, but then they opened up another outlet in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Tuition is free.
Wow.
Is free. They provide you with all the resources, all the, you know, and all you just have to do is to come and then provide food for yourself. That's all they ask you to do.
Wow.
And they give you an opportunity to learn all these programming languages that are very viable and relevant to the tech companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that some of these tech companies in Silicon Valley, the Facebooks and the Googles, come there to look for talent.
To recruit, yeah.
Just come. And at the end of the day, you are transformed. Within a few months, you are beginning to play at the top level. And so it was quite an eye-opener for myself and my students,
mm-hmm.
some of whom have told me that they are certainly coming back to 42. So you can imagine that. So it's been quite an experience. And I'm glad that the effect is immense on account of the testimonies that these students have been given.
Okay, so let's talk about your trip to, you know, institutions like Facebook. Were you able to, you know, interact with some of the people that worked there?
Facebook was the high point of all our tours, yes, because it was quite amazing to find that we have a rich Nigerian community working there at Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we actually have over 50 Facebook workers who are Nigerians.
Wow.
One of the vice presidents is a Nigerian.
Awesome.
we had a session which he addressed himself and some other top guys who are managers at Facebook, all Nigerians. And so it was very inspiring
to see that,
especially coming from in the Nigerian background where you think it's impossible to attain such heights.
Right.
So the students found it really, really motivating that regardless of the fact that some of these folks started out here in Nigeria mm-hmm. with all its, you know, inherent challenges, but through perseverance, hard work, mm-hmm. and having a plan, mm-hmm. they've been working at Facebook and are helping to define how successful Facebook has become. So mm-hmm. Facebook was a major experience for the students, the work culture, the interactiveness, the warmth. It was amazing. Wow. It was amazing. Wow. It was amazing. Yeah.
So this is awesome. This is an amazing project. You know, I never heard anything about it until recently. You know, I know that for you, you also were a computer science student at Babcock. And when you were a student, this sort of program was not in place. So what really motivated, what inspired you to take your students out of Nigeria and take them to Silicon Valley? I mean, I can tell that the benefits are so enormous, but what was that driving? What was that moment when you decided that it was time to take this to the next level?
Yeah, I can absolutely relate with how immense this program is and the impact it's having. You know, every time I reach out to some of my former students and I tell them what I'm doing, they're like, oh, Mr. Ernest, why did you come up with this when we were still students and all that? And I tell them, well, it came up when it did, and well, we're glad it eventually did come.
Right.
I mean, so every day we learn to look at things differently. But talking squarely now as to what led to this, I would say it's more of trying to change things and to think disruptively. Because when you look at
you use that word, disruptively.
It is because they caused disruption in their space. Somebody thought differently and believed that the new thinking is the way forward and that the old thinking would not live for too long. We are in a setting where there are just too many limitations. Mm-hmm. And then you set out to do something, you're reminded of all you do not have and how you are very likely to fail before you even make any attempt. And so I thought of something that was capable of launching my students to an all new height where they begin to dream big and envision themselves as global players in the tech space. You can't compare the tech space here in Nigeria and the tech space in Silicon Valley. There's just no grounds for that. And so most of what we do here is play second fiddle, if not third fiddle, to what plays out over there.
Mm-hmm.
Having my students gain entry into a place like Silicon Valley is going to not only help them to achieve so much in life, it's also going to place Babcock University on the map.
Awesome.
It's going to let the world know that something is happening here, and if given the right incentives, when given the right motivation, when given the right exposure, our students can be big players and hold their own in any part of the world.
Yes.
First, you have to make them smell it. You have to make them know that it exists.
And it's attainable.
You understand? Yeah, because until they were at Silicon Valley, like I told you of this boy, he was thinking so differently.
Right.
He told me, Mr. Ernest, everything I thought I wanted to be, everything I thought I wanted to do is already trashed. It's in the bin. I have something else I want to do with my life,
right.
And I believe so much and strongly in that possibility.
Yeah.
What else do you expect? Where right in front of them, they are seeing their fellow countrymen who were once here in Nigeria, hustling the hustle mm-hmm. with all the limitations, and then here they are with these guys sitting face to face with them, and them telling us what the journey has been like
mm-hmm.
and how it's actually possible to dream and actually live that dream.
That's amazing.
So it was a quest to give my students something I wasn't given, to give to them something I believe is going to help to promote the visibility of Babcock University and also place the students at a platform where they can play with other global players.
That's amazing. This is mind-blowing. You know, it's so good to hear someone who is actually thinking outside the box and, you know, trying to move these students, you know, to a different level of thinking. It's obvious that this program will definitely make a huge impact in the lives of the students. I know that this happens every year, and I'm looking forward to, you know, being in touch with your students and, you know, getting feedback from them even next year about how the program has impacted their lives. What is the experience Silicon Valley doing to, you know, other students on campus? Are these students who come to Silicon Valley, are they able to go back and, you know, hold forums and symposiums where they tell their fellow students about the things that they've seen? Is there a ripple effect at Babcock, you know, from the experience Silicon Valley project?
While we were still in California, in Silicon Valley, some of my students were already telling me that some of their peers were beginning to feel terrible that they didn't make it for the trip. Students who actually had the capacity to come by virtue of the fact that their parents could afford it,
right,
but for whatever reason decided not to key into the program.
Okay.
You know, when I saw the pictures, because we actually have an Instagram handle called Experience Silicon Valley.
Okay.
They were sad, and that a number of them have been buzzing to say they are interested in taking a part in the next one.
Okay.
It's a small place, Babcock University, and so people know people, and my department happens to be a very, very large department.
Wow.
So I've gotten feedback from one of my student executives asking if it was going to be possible for students outside of the Department of Computer Science to participate.
Okay.
Maybe not possible for now, but I'll look into it.
Okay.
So that goes to tell you that it's not just about students in computer science that are actually getting to know about the program,
mm-hmm,
but students outside of our department. Because one thing about Silicon Valley is that it's a community in itself that transcends computing. Yes, tech may be the resource, the major thing that happens there, but there's quite a number of activities that revolves around it. And so definitely, if we get to that point where I feel comfortable enough to allow students from other departments, I sure will.
Okay.
But for now, I think that it's quite a young program.
Okay.
I like to nurture it and get as many of my students to participate and gain the exposure and also derive the purpose for which the program was initially designed.
Okay. So even within the Department of Computer Science, you know, is the program open to all the students from year one to year four, or is it specifically tailored to students who have been in the program for a bit longer? When you come to Silicon Valley, how long are you here for?
It's a program that is primarily designed for students in their third year and fourth year. That is because the level of interaction is quite deep and intense.
Okay.
So it needs students who have gone far in their academic program to be able to cope with the discussions. And that's why it is primarily designed that way. But I actually do make exception for really, really smart folks who are in their second year. That's on purpose. Designed basically for those in their third year and their fourth year. Now, as to duration of the trip, last year we did 10 days and likewise this year, but from next year we are extending to 14 days.
Okay.
Yes, because the experience this year showed that it could be quite intense.
Okay.
So I want some more room for them to, you know, relax a little bit more, mm-hmm, and also, you know, feel leisurely rather than feel like they are in another melting pot of academic drama. So
right.
I felt that the 10 days was a little too choking, and so allowance of another 4 days will help to spread out our outings a little bit more and give some breathing space.
Okay.
Oh. Yes.
Well, first, I want to thank you for sharing your dream and your project with us, the Experience Silicon Valley Project, you know, where you bring students from your department at Babcock University, and you bring them to California, so Silicon Valley, to see Silicon Valley and experience, you know, what it's really like, in order to motivate them to aim higher and achieve better things. And again, congratulations, because this is a novel idea, even locally at Babcock University. And I also wish you the best. I hope that this program, you know, moves to the next level. I hope you get sponsorship. You know, I hope you're able to bring students, not only students who can afford it, but also students who, even though they cannot afford it, they're really, you know, interested, and they really will gain from this program. And so do you have any parting words before we go ahead and end the episode today?
Well, I want to thank you for bringing me to this program. It's been quite an experience.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I also want to thank all those who have helped me one way or the other to facilitate this. I want to single out one of my former students who currently works at Facebook.
Okay.
His name is Iano. So a big shout out to Iano for what he helped us achieve with the Facebook experience. I am very sure that without him, we wouldn't have had the kind of experience we did. So thank you very much. I also want to thank all those who back home here at Babcock University played one role or the other in believing in the program. So thank you. I also want to thank my family for the support, because sometimes it takes a toll on me, because you have to sacrifice family time to do all these plannings, and then at some point you have to be away. And so I want to thank my wife and my daughter for their love and understanding. I also want to thank God for helping to make this come true. Like I said, for some people it was not doable. It was impossible. It had never been done before. But I thank God for the grace and the courage to believe, to keep believing even when we had that initial setback. I only pray that it gets bigger and better, and that more students will be able to subscribe, and that the impact and the desired purpose will be derived even more than initially planned. So thank you once again for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So that's it, guys. I hope you guys are greatly inspired by people who are changing the narrative and, you know, choosing to think outside the box. If you want to follow the progress of the project Silicon Valley, you can go to their Instagram page, Experience Silicon Valley on Instagram, and find out what they're doing, their plans for next year. And if you'd like to be a part of it, you know, you can reach out to them there. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye.
Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com.